Oui, mais ça dépend à quel niveau on les conçoit. Oui, parce que si on les conçoit au niveau des intentions des protestataires, parfois il y a des objectifs qui sont locaux. Mais en général, il y a quand même une intention de mettre en cause l'ordre global. Mais d'après moi, il ne faut pas avancer trop et dire, voilà, ce sont des mouvements protestataires qui mettent en cause l'ordre global. D'après moi, il faut attendre que le développement de ces mouvements démontre en fait la visée des protestataires. C'est un processus, c'est pas quelque chose de ponctuel.
Well, when I speak about civic, I'm trying to make a differentiation between civil and civic power. And what I'm trying to say is that civic people are people who are enacting a way of being which takes into account the fact that we have organizational structures of power, but at the same time, they don't limit their actions to those organizations. In other words, for example, if they see that a particular law is unjust, even though the legal system says they have to act in a particular manner, they don't have a problem, acting beyond that legal system and trying to redefine it. So that's something that I think is different from the civic perspective to the civil perspective, which will ultimately always align with the set structures of the kind of regime that exists in regards to what democracy is. So that's the differentiation between civic and civil. And then in regards to horizontal versus vertical, what I'm trying to say is that we live in a democratic system in which we take for granted the fact that verticality is a must in order to be represented and therefore be able to make decisions. Whereas these people are in their practices showing us a mode of being which seems to operate in a broader manner and beyond that definition of what a democratic self-government is, and are trying to enact their way of being and therefore show us a different kind of democracy.
Okay, so I see the actors of public square movement as people gathered in a physical public space, and although they have a certain collective identity and a certain repertoire of contention, they do manage to preserve this heterogeneity and their singularity. So in that sense, it's a really different kind of repertoire of contention and forming the assembly from the other, social movements in the sociology of social movements literature. And I think the football fans are, in the context of Gezi movement in Istanbul, it was really important to have them because they know how to clash with the police and how to organize people's physical presences. They really, contribute to the movement. And also the gaining of the Gezi Park from the police forces, because lots of activists in Gezi, they were young and they didn't have, the needed sets of action in order to clash with the police or, to resist gas grenades, etc. So they, without football fans, I think it would be very difficult to gain control of the Taksim Square and to build a collective and creative communal life. So.
Usually and historically, youth and students have played this kind of avant-garde role, and very often when students would take to the streets and violence would get involved, this provokes a bigger protest. This was the case in Ukraine multiple times, and especially with the Euromaidan protest, where the beating of students directly provoked the so-called revolution of dignity. And there are other cases which are very interesting, which, for instance, in Poland, is the actual absence of youth in the protest. And I think right now this is one of the big weak points. actually the only protest action that took place in Poland in the last year that involved youth was the only one where the government actually immediately backtracked. So I think that the presence of youth and the role of youth in protest is not to be underestimated for a variety of reasons.